Bhavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 8th chapter, text number 53. Shri Kim Purusha Uchu Vayam Kim Purushas Twam Tu Mahapurusha Ishvaraha Ayam ku purusho nasto dikrita sadubir yada shri kim purushu chu vayam kim purushas tvam tu mahapurusha ishvara ayam ku purusho nasto Dikrita sadubir yada Shri kim purusha uchu Vayam kim purushas tvam tu Mahapurusha ishvara Ayam ku purusha nasto Dikrita sadubir yada Matas, Vaishnavis. Shri Kim Purusha Uchu. The inhabitants of Kim Purusha Loka said, Vayam, we, Kim Purusha, the inhabitants of Kim Purusha Loka, or insignificant living entities, Tvam, your lordship, to, however, Mahapurusha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ishvara, the Supreme Controller, I am this, Purusha, most sinful person. Hiranyakasipu. Nashta, slain. Dikrita, being condemned. Sarubi, by the saintly persons. Yada, when. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The inhabitants of Kimpurusha Loka said, "We are insignificant living entities, and you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller. Therefore, how can we offer suitable prayers unto you?" When this demon was condemned by devotees because they were disgusted with him, he was then killed by you. Purport. The cause of the Supreme Lord's appearance upon this earth is stated in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 7 and 8, by the Lord himself. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata bhutanam dharmasya tadatmanam shujami aham parichranaya sadhanam vinishaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Whenever and wherever there is a decrease in religious principles and a predominant rise in irreligion, at that time I descend myself to deliver the pious and annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion. I event myself millennium after millennium. The Lord appears in order to execute two kinds of activities, to kill the demons and to protect the devotees. When the devotees are too disturbed by the demons, the Lord certainly appears in different incarnations to give the devotees protection. The devotees following in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj should not be disturbed by the demoniac activities of the non-devotees. Rather, they should stick to their principles as sincere servants of the Lord and rest assured that the demoniac activities directed against them will not be able to stop their devotional service. Om Aginatimananda Shajananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militamienas Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobustam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Swapadanti Kam. So Prabhupada saying here that the devotees should follow in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj and not be disturbed by the demoniac activities of the non-devotees, but they should stick to their principles as sincere servants of the Lord and rest assured that the demoniac activities directed against them will not be able to stop their devotional service. Okay. Well, one point that came to my mind when I was reading this was that devotees are definitely, Prabhupada says here, they should rest assured that demonic activities directed against them will not be able to stop their devotional service. They'll be protected, by Krishna. But that protection might not be exactly the same protection that Prahlad Maharaj got. Prahlad Maharaj was protected to the point where he was pretty much invulnerable and invincible. try as he did, Hiranyakasipu was not able to really disturb him in the least. And he really tried. We all know the details. I don't have to mention them. From what I can understand, I don't think we can't expect that all devotees at all times are going to necessarily get that same extent of protection. And that's okay. It's not, necessarily even a bad thing. Prabhupada says here in the last phrase that rest assured the demonic activities directed against them, meaning the devotees, will not be able to stop their devotional service. So we have to bear in mind what is devotional service. Devotional service means Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smananam, Parasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. So that much, that's kind of like a baseline, understanding. In other words, like that much will definitely be there, that there's no way that a sincere devotee's devotional service will be disturbed by or stopped by these demonic activities of the non-devotees. Krishna will protect always protect the devotee's devotional service. And and there's various statements to that effect. I think maybe the most famous one, ninth chapter, Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, how's it go? Shipram bhavati dharmatma sach sach shantim nagachati kunteya pratijanahi name bhakta pranashati. He tells Arjuna, you declare it boldly, my devotee never perishes. That's not to say that the devotee never dies, and that the devotee never gives up the material body, or that even the devotee won't be vanquished in any particular situation, because there are examples of devotees being vanquished. Like, for instance, Arjuna's son, Abhimanyu. He was vanquished. I mean, I'm assuming he was a devotee. I've never heard Prabhupada explicitly say Abhimanyu was a great devotee. Maybe he did. I can't remember. But I do remember hearing Prabhupada say that one of the reasons Krishna gave Arjuna to kill Karna when his chariot got stuck in the mud and he went down to, pull the chariot out. And Arjuna was thinking, and Karna was expecting, you can't attack me now, I'm pulling the chariot out of the mud. That's against the Kshatriya, the principles of fighting, Kshatriya principles of fighting. And Arjuna was kind of going along with that. But Krishna said, no, now, kill him. Is the time to kill him. And Arjuna was kind of like, well, but how? And Krishna explained to him, where was this Kshatriya spirit? Where was the Kshatriya etiquette when they killed your son, Abhimanyu, six or seven, whatever it was, Maharatis ganged up on him. That was also against the Kshatriya codes of fighting. So Krishna was not happy about that. Anyway, so Abhimanyu was vanquished. And there's other examples. I mean, one that popped into my mind. There's examples even within modern day. I read that book, Salted Bread, and some of those devotees were vanquished. They were, persecuting their Krishna consciousness, and they were, caught and they were tortured, and there's at least one I can remember definitely died, possibly more. And I believe there's some devotees in Africa who were killed, and there's other devotees. I forget which country it was, one of these, like an Eastern European country, used to be part of Russia. They had, B.B. Govinda Maharaj is the GBC there, and they had, like, their buildings just kind of plowed down by the government. So they weren't killed, but, they're certainly disturbed. But, that goes on. But that doesn't mean to say that their devotional service was disturbed or stopped. That's, as I said, that's guaranteed by Krishna. If a devotee is sincere, that all these activities, the demonic activities of the non-devotees will not be able to deviate the devotee from their devotional service, because Krishna will protect their consciousness. He'll protect their Krishna consciousness. That much we can 100% feel rest assured of and bank on, and that's guaranteed, that Krishna is always going to protect the sincere devotee's Krishna consciousness. And of course, that is by far the most important thing, right? And in this life and in the next. There's that verse in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Neha Bhikkhama Nastosti Prachivaya Navijite Swapam Appiyasya Dharmasya Trayate Mahatovayat. That in this endeavor there is no loss or diminution, and a little bit of advancement protects one from the most dangerous type of fear. And Prabhupada explains in the purport. The basic idea there is that if somebody performs a little bit of devotional service, then that's a permanent asset. That service attitude will qualify that person to have a further opportunity for devotional service in their next life. So Krishna protects that devotional service. And of course, sometimes, Prahlad Maharaj is not a unique, isolated case, an example. There are other examples of devotees even having the external manifestation of their devotional service protected. For instance, let's see, Maharaj Ambarish is another example. He was just kind of minding his own business, doing his devotional service, and Durvasa Muni became very envious and to the point where he wanted to kill him, basically. And Maharaj Ambarish didn't really, do anything to defend himself. He just took shelter of Krishna. But Krishna, completely protected him, not just his devotional service, you know, but he protected his physical well-being and the whole works. You know, Durvasa Muni was not able to disturb Maharaj Ambarish really in the least. You know, Krishna sent the Sudarshan Chakra, etc. Everybody knows the story. So that's another example. And Draupadi, you know, she also, Krishna protected her. Even, you know, as I said, the external manifestation of her devotional service, that was, you know, she was fully protected. So there are, those examples are there too. And but I think in mentioning, making this point here in this purport, the real point Prabhupada's trying to make, I don't think, you know, Prabhupada was really trying to introduce a possible topic for discussion for, you know, sort of splitting philosophical hairs here, you know, whether, you know, what's being protected or not, you know, is it everything or just the devotional service? Let's just, you know, not worry about that, putting that point aside now. The real thing Prabhupada's trying to do here is encourage. He's trying to encourage devotees that, go for it, you know. Krishna's there. Krishna's going to protect us, whether it's just our devotional service and our body, or, you know, we're guaranteed that we should, Prabhupada's encouraging the devotees, rest assured, you know, just go full force forward with on your devotional service, and, you know, Krishna will be there. You know, Lord Nrisingadeva will be there. Protection's there. And there's all sorts of statements like that, you know, throughout the books, throughout Prabhupada's purports and throughout the Bhagavatam and the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and not just, you know, with Lord Nrisingadeva. I mean, there's one favorite sloka I remember from the Chaitanya Charitamrita where it goes, it says the names of the six Goswami, Shri Rupshi Sanatan Bhattaraganath, Shri Jiva Gopala Bhattadasana, H.I. Goshai Kori Chadanavandan, Yaha Hoite Bignana Shabishtaparan, that Prabhupada's encouraging, or Krishna's coverage, Goswami is encouraging devotees there that they should take shelter of the lotus feet of the six Goswamis, and that all impediments will be annihilated and all their spiritual desires will be fulfilled. And Prabhupada, in his brief purport to that verse, he just basically reiterates that same point that Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami states in that shloka, and that same point is also made by Narottam Das Thakur in a song, that one that goes, Chandera Chandana Sevi Bhakti Sanivas Janamajan. I can't remember the... Yeah, Sevi Bhakti Sanivas. Yeah, that song. I think it's called Harinam Sankirtan, but I'm not sure. So Narottam Das Thakur makes that same point in that song. And so Prabhupada says, and the purport, he says, devotees should just adhere to the lotus feet of the six Goswamis and pray for their mercy. And once again, he says, all impediments will be annihilated, and the transcendental desire for devotional service to the Supreme Lord will be fulfilled. So there's, you know, different assurances like that in relation to not just the Lord, but the great devotees too, that we should take shelter of them. And by taking shelter of them, then all protection will be there and all success will be there. All help. So that's basically what's, you know, Prabhupada's trying to do. He's trying to encourage all the his readers, his followers, us, the Prabhupada Nugas, to be very enthusiastic and not be worried, not fear, you know, these demoniac activities by the non-devotees, which will unfortunately always be there. You know, I mean, however great a devotee you are, you're going to meet with these, you know, demoniac activities of non-devotees. I mean, Prabhupada had to, even Srila Prabhupada had to, you know, deal with demoniac activities of non-devotees. So there's that one famous example is that Mr. Nair, you know, when Prabhupada was trying to build a temple there in Juhu, and there was so much interference by this man. I mean, he was just like, and he was just an out-and-out demon, and he was just out and out trying to just cheat the devotees, right? It was nothing. It was black and white. He was just a demon, and it really caused Prabhupada a lot of disturbance. Of course, in the long run, ultimately, Prabhupada emerged victorious, 100% victorious. And the man, even Lord Nrisingadeva, kind of took care of him. He had a heart attack and he died. He wasn't even able to, you know, Lord Nrisingadeva curtailed his demoniac activities But, I mean, for there was a period of time there where Prabhupada had to deal with that. So that's going to be there. But we shouldn't be put off by that. That's, you know, kind of par for the course. You just have to be prepared to, it's going to appear most likely at some point in our attempts to be in our, you know, career devotional service. And when it's there, just take shelter. We take shelter of our, you know, the superior authorities, and be confident that the necessary protection will be there. And of course, Prabhupada here is just speaking about devotional service in general. But he does say we should follow in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj and not be disturbed by the demonic activities of non-devotees. As I mentioned, I used two words when I was referring to Prahlad Maharaj's devotional service right in the beginning of the class: invulnerable and invincible. So, invulnerable, he was invulnerable in the sense that Hiranyakasipu couldn't, like, kill him. You know, he tries, although, you know, he tried really hard. But he was also invincible in that he wasn't even able to stop his preaching. Prahlad Maharaj was preaching to his schoolmates. Prabhupada used the expression during tiffin hours. First opportunity he got, Prahlad, you know, it's when Sandana Marka went out, Prahlad Maharaj started preaching to all his classmates there. And he, apparently he was successful in inspiring them in devotional service. They also, you know, wanted to become devotees. So, you know, I just mentioned because Prabhupada said we should follow in Prahlad Maharaj's footsteps. So that's part of following in Prahlad Maharaj's footsteps. Part of following Prahlad Maharaj's footsteps is the, you know, the first part is just like taking full shelter of Krishna. That's what he's famous for Smaranam, remembering. He just completely took shelter of Krishna. When all those things were going on, you know, Hiranyakasipu was torturing him and attempting to kill him, his meditation was just, Krishna. Sometimes in that little, there used to be a play the devotees put on back in the early days, and they had him chanting Hare Krishna, whether he was actually chanting Hare Krishna, just meditating on the lotus feet of Krishna. I don't know if it's explicitly stated there, but certainly he was fully absorbed in Krishna, and he was fully protected. And the second part is that following in the footsteps would be, you know, to follow in the footsteps in his preaching spirit. He's, Prabhupada gives him as an example of a famous preacher. You know, just as a young child like that, he was preaching to the classmates. Also, once again, at great risk, because if those activities were discovered, they wouldn't be approved of. So that's there too. And, you know, as we know, that's something that Prabhupada not only just encouraged all his followers to do, enthusiastic about preaching, he did it himself, and he encouraged all of us. And it was a big, very important part of being a follower of Prabhupada, being a Prabhupada Anuga, is to try to follow in Prabhupada's footsteps, Prahlad Maharaj's footsteps, as far as that goes, which is to try to not just become Krishna conscious, but as much as possible, figure out a way in which you can help other people become Krishna conscious. That's a big part. You know, actually, there's one purport in the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam where Prabhupada says something to that effect. He says the activities of the Krishna consciousness movement are not just meant for one's own benefit, but, you know, for others also. It's, you know, we're meant to actually, it's part of being a devotee. In other words, it's, you know, to try to share it with other people. And Prabhupada in that same purport goes on to make the point that somebody who does that, you know, somebody who actually takes that up seriously, he says, such an advanced devotee will never fall down because Krishna will give him special protection. So, you know, that assurance is there that, you know, if we try like that, the protection will be there. Prabhupada wanted us to be ideally ghosti anandis. Everybody knows the differences. Ghosti anandi and this bhajananandi. Bhajananandi, oil your own machine. They're just trying to engaging in devotional service, and that's good. You know, and they're mostly concerned about their own liberation, and that's good. But superior to that is being a ghosti anandi, which means you're concerned not only, you're really not so concerned with your own liberation, although you're not, what's the word, you're not like neglectful. I mean, you're not like irresponsible, but you're concerned. You're confident that your liberation is assured, and you're concerned about trying to help other people come to Krishna consciousness, come to devotional service. So that's the mood. That's what Prabhupada was trying to, encourage us in, like that. And so we should desire that. Actually, we should pray for that. We should pray for that every day. That by the mercy of Prabhupada, by the mercy of our spiritual master, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, that we can become effective, empowered. Prabhupada uses that word, empowered preachers of Krishna consciousness, and be like he was, effective like he was in spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. Prabhupada's our role model, As kids growing up, you have somebody you want to be like, maybe some particular professional athlete or some musician or something like that. But devotees, we should want to be like Prabhupada or a spiritual master. I'd like to be, Prabhupada's my spiritual master. I'd like to be like Prabhupada. He's like the role model. It's a perfect person, fully Krishna conscious and fully, empowered to give Krishna consciousness to other people. So we should do everything within our ability to try to achieve that, try to progress towards that, which includes really praying for it. You have to pray for that mercy. To that you actually, there's one purport in the Madhulila, beginning of the Madhulila, where it's describing when Lord Chaitanya started his tour for South India. He left Jagannath Puri, and then he started south. I think he was by himself on that first trip. Anyway, he's walking along the road, and he was chanting, Krishna, 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 Krishna. Hey, everybody knows that. So he was chanting like that. And people, he would see, as he was walking, people would see him, and they were impressed. And Lord Chaitanya would embrace them. And it's described that when they became embraced by Lord Chaitanya, they became invested with bhakti shakti, is the phrase Prabhupada uses. And then those people, those empowered people, they went back to their village. Lord Chaitanya sent them back to their village after, they walked with him for a way, and then they were sent back to their village. And then those people, the people who met them, they became invested with bhakti shakti. Sometimes it wasn't even, they didn't even receive a hug. It's described sometimes even by the tanra darshana, just by the mercy of their glance. That phenomenon is there, the mercy of the glance. And a lot of times you hear devotees talking when they give these memories of Prabhupada about how they, when they, one time they saw Prabhupada and they felt he was looking right through them. And there's something to that, in other words, is one of the point I'm trying to make. There's a lot of different devotees have described like that, and it's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, this Tundra Darshana. By the mercy of the glance of these empowered individuals, other people would also become empowered and on like that. And they would, the people who met them became inspired in Krishna consciousness. So, and in this way, it's described that Krishna consciousness spread throughout South India. So that's an example, of course, of Kripa City. Complete Kripa City, because there's no mention of that these people were following any rules, practicing bhakti yoga in any way, although, probably they're a heck of a lot more pious than, your average American today. But, because they were there in South India 500 years ago. But, they just happened to see Lord Chaitanya, or they happened to see somebody who saw Lord Chaitanya, and they became devotees like that. But the point is that, but our situation, we're practicing regulative principles of devotional service, but ultimately, Kripa has to be there. And as even to achieve success in sadhana bhakti, Kripa is that element of Kripa has to be there. and it's not mechanical. That's the point I guess I'm trying to make, that you know, we shouldn't think it is true that just by systematically following the regulative principles, we're told, you know, that's we're assured that we're going to get purified and make progress. But it's not a mechanical thing. It's a relation. It's more like it's a relationship. When the spiritual master is pleased by the way we're executing our devotional service, then we're blessed. We receive the blessings of the spiritual master. You know, and then at that time, that's when that's your advancement. You receive the mercy of the spiritual master. And every morning we recite Yasya Prashadad Bhagavat Prashadad by the mercy of the spiritual master. So it's a relationship. It's not a mechanical thing. So it's personal. And it's good to always bear that in mind, always to remember that, you know, okay, we're doing these things, we're chanting 16 rounds, we're coming to the morning program, you know, we're doing these systematically disciplined activities, but ultimately it's our becoming elevated to the platform of Krishna consciousness is dependent upon our receiving the mercy of a person. So it's as I said, it's personal. It's a relationship. That's a very important point to always bear in mind. And just on that note of, on two notes. On the note of, you know, it's person, it's relationship, and just on the note of like becoming a preacher. So there's already so many devotees, you know, disciples of Srila Prabhupada, have dedicated their, taken to heart this. You know, the mission and dedicating their lives in a very serious way to trying to do exactly what I was just describing, you know, practice Krishna consciousness exactly the way it was given to us by Prabhupada and you know, trying to preach it, share it with other people. One such Prabhupada disciple, unfortunately, left our association yesterday evening, early evening. His name is Siddhavijaya. Very nice devotee, disciple of Srila Prabhupada since about 1972, I believe. And he was joined in Florida, I believe. And he was there pretty much his whole career as a devotee, 40 years plus. Huh? Okay, so he wasn't always in Miami, but for the vast majority of the time he spent in Miami, and he's famous for performing kirtan. And I didn't actually meet him. I don't remember meeting him when I was in New York in 73. Maybe he was there, just kind of low-profile devotee. But last year we went to Miami. We did the marathon there, the Prabhupada marathon there. So he was there and still doing kirtan. He had some, I think maybe he was already kind of ill at that time. But Parkinson's, yeah, right. I think he actually died of cancer, from what I was told. But anyway, he was there and he was doing kirtan every Friday night or whatever it was. And you know, it was like you take out a kirtan party. And we went to all the different, you know, went through Coconut Grove and sometime went down to Lincoln Mall. And he was very bold. You know, he'd go right into the shops or the restaurants or right in there, and not just like outside, but right in. And nobody seemed to mind because he'd been doing it for years apparently, and everybody liked him, and they just more than tolerated. They actually enjoyed seeing him and the devotees go in there and do the kirtan. They'd perform kirtan inside the restaurant, inside the bar, inside the shop for about a few minutes, and then sometimes he'd give the microphone to the person who was the manager working there and get them to chant the Maha Mantra. And then we kind of go out into the next place, you know. And that was his passion or his devotion. Yeah.
All right.
Nice. Yeah, he's a celebrity, pretty much. Yeah, he was a nice guy. Shaking, yeah. And he had good sight. He came to the morning program every morning, and he came to the evening program, and he was giving Bhagavad Gita class to the. He always had a few guests, young, you know, students and stuff that would come, and he'd, you know, be there, and he'd lead the kirtan and give him Bhagavad Gita class. So he's a really exemplary devotee. And just like one sort of point, kind of it's a bit of a somber note, but it's good instruction. At the end, you know, we went there to do the marathon. At the end of the marathon, we went there because... We were told this one particular spot was going to be really good, Lincoln Mall. And some devotees did well there the year before, but we found it really tough. We didn't do good there at all. And we kind of really scrambled, and we went to schools and malls, and we did the best we could. But at the end of the whole thing, I had like 108 boxes of books left. It's a lot of boxes, a lot of books. And if I had to ship those back here to Los Angeles, that would have been, you know, really bad in terms of the bottom line. You know, all the profit we made from whatever books we distributed would have been eaten up by that, the cost of shipping them back here. Anyway, Siddha Vijay was kind enough to allow us to just stick the books in his garage, as well as about another 60 boxes of RVCT SKP. They also had books, more books than they what they needed. So his whole garage was just full of books. You know, we just took over his whole garage. And they were there for practically not a whole year. Let's see, they were there for about 6 months until we came through on the Warp Tour later on and kind of got some of them, and the rest of them they got in September. But the point I wanted to make was, and this is like, as I said, it's a bit of a somber point, but it's good, worth making it. I got a phone call about a week ago that, you know, from Sankara Pandit and I think Vishal, they're mentioning that they were going to the hospital to see him and, you know, that he was ill. And you know, I just, somehow or another, I was traveling Sankirtan, and, you know, you're into your service and everything. And I didn't pay much attention. I mean, I didn't even really, you know, I didn't think, well, is he something he's going to recover from, or is it, you know, is he in there and that's it? But, and then last night when I heard he passed away, I realized, wow, that was like, how did I do that, you know? I mean, that was like really insensitive and really, like, where was that at? And I felt really bad. I felt like, how could I, you know, in other words, the point I'm making is like in the course of, or in the process of trying to become elevated transcendentalists, which we all should be trying to be, we shouldn't forget to be just, you know, human beings, you know, caring and feeling and sensitive and like that, decent human beings, which I apparently forgot, and I apologize to every, you know, buddy I am. And I actually, when I it didn't even occur to me when I heard, as I said, they passed away, I realized, wow, he not only was he a god brother, I met him, he's a friend, he did me a big favor. I should have at least made a phone call and, you know, talked to him a little bit. So, something to keep in mind that, you know, we're trying to be advanced in devotional service, and it's intense. You know, a lot of times what we're doing is it's intense. You know, it's like a real, you have to put everything into it. Like, you know, and sometimes on Sankirtan, it's like I feel like I'm going to war or something like that. You just, okay, you know, forget about this, forget about that. I just got to, you know, do this activity. And that's good in a way, but at the same time, we got to also pray to our spiritual master and, you know, Lord Chaitanya to give us enough intelligence to have a balance. We have to be balanced, and you got to be human beings at the same time. You know, we can't forget that. That's not, you know, it's not part of the program to just become like a fanatic kind of. You know, with people we have, we're surrounded by devotees who will have situations and feelings, and you know, that's part of it too. I made a big mistake, and so I'm mentioning it so others hopefully can benefit and not make that same mistake. Okay, so I'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Yeah, Radha Kripa. Okay. Can everybody hear that? Today is the disappearance day of Jagannath Das Babaji and Rasikananda Prabhu, who is a devotee of Lord Chaitanya. Yes, and Jagannath Das Babaji was the spiritual master of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Siksha Guru of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Can I say something? Of Shamananda Pandit, so who's like a disciple of Jiva Goswami, I believe. So, you know, one of the next generation down or two after Lord Chaitanya, great devotee. All right, anyway, we could stop there. Thank you very much. Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.